Fourth Tower, Week 3, Wednesday.
High upon a mountain, above the pines and mist that surrounds the Bay of Inverness, there stands an incredible mansion. Its three towers appear to pierce the sky. Its windows are like a thousand eyes turned inward, and its doors, hinged on time, open into endless space.
Fourth Tower of Inverness!
And now we return to the thrilling adventure serial, The Fourth Tower of Inverness. As we look in on the rolling hills of Inverness, we see a slight problem has recurred for our hero, Jack Flanders. He stumbled up to his bedroom, exhausted from the events of the night before, and was just about to collapse when who should he see in his bed but the Madonna Vampira?
I've been waiting for you.
Look, I'm tired. Just beat it.
That's not a pleasant way to treat an old friend.
Old friend almost got me sliced into this morning's bacon up there, you know. Well, what was the idea? Being chased by a half-crazed cretin with a 10-pound cleaver in a shoebox room ain't exactly the kind of sports event I care for, you know.
Did that happen?
Did that happen? One moment you're there, the next moment you're gone, and the following moment in comes Meanie Enie or some demon that looks just like her and starts measuring me for pork chops.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah, sure. Now get out of my bed.
I'm very narrow, you see. I take so little room.
Tough! Out!
I'll let you sleep. I won't bother you.
How do you expect me to sleep with you in bed with me?
Perhaps you'll sleep all the better.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You'll never know till you try. Oh, come on. The bed's nice and warm, and I'm nice and warm. Oh, come on. Oh, that's right. Here, pull back the covers. That's right. Now, come on. Sleep here inside.
No, out you go.
Oh, Jack, stop it. Jack!
You little vampire!
I didn't mean... Jack! Oh! Jack, please. It's cold out here. I won't do anything wrong, I promise. Jack? Oh, I hope you croak in your sleep.
Really? Really?
Same to you.
What next? Lord, I'm tired. What a first day. Well, I hope the second day is a little bit more peaceful.
He won't wake up now.
As Jack sleeps, he has a dream. He's climbing a mountain. Mists curl around in the valley below. The landscape is like something out of a Japanese painting. Strange-shaped hills and mountains rising straight up from the valleys. All around, echoing below, is a constant drone, as though the mist and air of the valleys and the mountain itself were vibrating to this one sound. He finds a narrow path, follows it. The path ends at the mouth of a cave. Coming from the cave is a dull, bluish-white light. He feels himself being drawn into the cave. As he goes further and further in, the colors reflecting off the walls are breathtaking. Then, there, at the end of the cave, sits a figure, almost a sculpture. So silent it sat there. Rays of six colors, indigo, golden, red, white, tawny, and dazzling, radiated from the seated figure. The indigo rays issued from his hair and the blue portions of his eyes. Jack could now see as though the walls no longer existed. The sky appeared as though bespeckled with calorium powder, or covered with flax and blue lotus flowers, or like a jeweled fan swaying to and fro, or a piece of dark cloth fully spread out. The golden rays issued from his skin and the golden portions of his eyes, owing to them the different quarters of the globe, shining as though besprinkled with some golden liquid, or overlaid with sheets of gold, or strewn with saffron powder and bohemia flowers. The red rays radiated from his flesh and blood in the red portions of his eyes. Owing to them, the quarters of the globe were colored as though painted with red lead powder out of silver pots or overspread with a canopy of silver plates. The tawny and dazzling rays issued from the different parts of his body. Thus, the six colored rays came forth and caught the earth, the water, the air, the space beyond, and all the heavenly regions and millions of world systems were penetrated by his golden light.
What is that?
Testing.
Where is that coming from?
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing.
Where on earth is that noise coming from?
Testing.
Good
Alpha,
grief.
Beta,
it's coming from inside
Delta,
my head.
Testing. Tra-la, tra-la, testing.
The night has passed. The sun has risen up over the hills that stretch beyond the Bay of Inverness. The birds are cheering wildly. In the distance, crows are calling to one another. It's a bright, warm autumn day. Jack Flanders, nephew of the owner of the Inverness estate, has had a strange dream. He awakens to hear a voice deep inside his head.
Testing. Testing.
What?
Alpha. Beta.
What?
Delta.
What the hell is that noise?
This is Lady Jowls. I'd just like to say that this is an historic moment as once again science breaks through yet another barrier. This time, our own Dr. Mazzulla, mad genius that he is, has excelled once more with the world's first alpha wave intercom.
Holy smoke!
Eventually, the good professor will have a control panel, so you won't have to listen in on everyone's messages. No cause for alarm. It's merely an intercom. We can't read your thoughts. This has been a test.
What? Hey, what? What is this beanie doing stuck on top of my head? Well, I certainly can do without this.
Oh, Jack, before you remove that, let me remind you it is now 4 o'clock in the afternoon and time to hang the dragonfly paper. That is all.
This place isn't real.
Hello?
What? What? Who is it?
Jack?
Yes?
Jack? This is your Auntie Jowls. May I come in?
Yes, yes, come in, come in.
Ah, Jack, I'm sorry to disturb
you. What is the idea of sticking this electronic beanie on top of my head while I was asleep?
Oh, you have one. I didn't know. I suppose when Jives was passing them around, he must have seen you were asleep and just placed one on your head.
Well, I don't particularly enjoy the idea of people tinkering with my brain while I'm asleep, you know?
No, Jack, don't be a crab. I detest electronic gadgets that intrude on one's privacy as much as anyone. But it's like what Lord Jowls used to say. The device is not the problem. It's what you do with it. That is the problem. Well, it was after we had our little chat that I realized I could no longer stay in 1930. If culture is to come to the masses, we may as well help it along. Wouldn't you agree?
No.
Well, it is a clever intercom, don't you think?
All those damn devices ought to be crushed.
Oh, a regular Philistine this morning, aren't you? Oh, it's afternoon. You must be starved. Come along, Jack. Maybe we'll find Frida. She thinks the world of you, you know.
Yes.
It's a splendid day. We'll have tea out on the terrace. Ah, it's so beautiful.
Tell me, Auntie, where did little Frida come from?
Oh, it's such a long story. It takes so much energy to tell. It has to do with Lord Jowls. Crumpets?
No, thank you.
I'm certain it's her devotion to him that causes her to smoke those infernal Havana cigars. I have nothing against Fidel Castro, mind you. I think he's a good man. Good for his people. But it just doesn't seem right or healthy that a small child should smoke such large cigars. Why, the scale isn't right. It always looks as though she's going to topple forwards, don't you think? At any rate, her devotion to you, Jack, is similar, because you are an adventurer like Lord Jowls was.
No, Auntie, I am not an adventurer.
Oh, but you will be. You already are. One can merely look into some people's eyes and tell what they will be. It's like looking at a seed and knowing it will grow into a lovely tree. It just takes actions to confirm the fate.
Fate?
The part is written. The character is cast. It's all in the way you play the role. Look at me, Jack. Yes, your eyes are sensitive. In you is something wild, something untamed. Don't ever let it be tamed, Jack. Be like the unicorn.
It's very strange that you should say that.
Really?
You know, I saw a unicorn once. It was when I lived in London.
Tell me all about it.
Are you sure you really want to hear this?
Oh, yes, yes, go on.
Well, one night I was walking along the street. I had swallowed some hashish, purely by accident, of course. And for some reason, I felt very, very open to everything. I was going to see a friend of mine that lived in Holland Park. Anyway, there was a fellow who was across the street. He was watching me. It was more like he was attracted to me as though I were a magnet. He came over to me, kind of swaying, uncertain. I stopped and waited. He was very large and tall. Then he looked at me, down into my eyes. And you know how sometimes your eyes meet with someone and there's a shaft of intense energy that flashes across?
Yes.
Well, what happened? Apparently, my eyes were so open, he tumbled right in. He fell right inside me, and I was suffocating. He fell so deeply inside me that suddenly I exploded and blew him right back out, and in between us was something like a lightning flash. And there was a white unicorn. It lasted for just a moment, and then it was gone. I have no idea whether he saw it or not. Oh, he started talking very forced hip talk, wanting to know where he could get some drugs, and of course I didn't know, so we parted. But oddly enough, when he left, he was totally confused, and I was absolutely stone sober.
Yes, yes, you've seen the unicorn, that is you. It's pure and untamed. Follow it.
Tune in at this same time tomorrow when you'll hear...
That means that first the pedal master went into the cave, and then the dragon came out.
Then the dragon went back in, and the pedal master came back out, yes, no?
Whose eyes did the dragon have?
The Fourth Tower is produced by ZBS Media.